Good afternoon. My name is Christine Stensland, and this is my single mom support squad. This is my third time being at this event. And the first time I went, I volunteered, and I was like, why did this not exist when I was a single mom? I was overwhelmed with just how special and how this whole event is and the amount of work that goes into it. So hopefully you all are having a very awesome experience and feeling very loved and very seen. 2 years ago, I then spoke in a breakout session, and I just kept thinking, gosh, like, there's just so much stuff that I've learned in my walk as a mom and as a single mom, as have my friends up here on stage. And I am an extrovert, so bringing my friends to do fun things with me seemed like a great idea. And Single Mom Support Squad is alliteration, which also speaks to me. So that's who we are today. I have been divorced and remarried. I've been married to my husband, Mike, now for 19 years. And we blended our family of four 19 years ago. So I have two biological boys, those are mine, and then my husband has two girls, and so we're a family of six. Our kids range in age from 22, almost 23, to 28, so they're out of the house. So I'm in my empty nest era, which has been delightful. So, but with me, I'm just going to let them introduce themselves and who they are and where they're from. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota, just so you know. So if anybody's in here from not in this area, from down south, that's where I live, is in Rochester.
You should say what you do.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple roles. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit that we founded to help strengthen relationships, so especially couple relationships and family relationships. And then my husband and I also started a software technology company that helps, again, visualize complex family structures. So it is my life's work to take that pain of my divorce. God has said, you can use that pain for good, and that's what we're trying to do, is to try to then take what we've learned from that pain and put it in different places to help strengthen families and strengthen relationships. So after my kids left, I figured, why not found a nonprofit and a tech company? Because what else am I going to do with my time? That's me.
Okay, well, I'm Lori Romberg-McGregor, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have been married to my husband for 13 years. We are blended. So I was married previously and divorced. So I was then a single mom for 7 years. From when my kids were 5 to 12, and now we've been married for 13 years. So I have twins that are now 25, and then my husband brought two in. They are now 18 and 17. So we have, one of the twins lives with us full-time. He's autistic and also has an intellectual disability, so he's with us full-time. And then his sister is in Washington State, lives near her dad, and she's graduated but still trying to figure out what she's doing with her life. And then Alex is just finished his freshman year of college, and Abby will be a senior in high school and is doing all the activities, and they live primarily with their mom, which is about 25 miles from us. I am an OBGYN. This is 20 years in practice this year for me. I absolutely love it. So that's my day job. But my husband and I also run the blended family ministry at our church, as well as we're affiliate staff with Family Life, specifically on the Family Life blended team. And so we do help with seminars really across country, geared towards blended families, strengthening step families and relationships. That's how we met.
Yep. And I want to just, when we say blended families too, just so you know, regardless of the relationship you are in, if you have a current partner, your kids are living in two homes potentially, or even if their dad is no longer in their life, he still has a space in their family tree. So we say blended, but it also just means multi-household family. So when we'll use the word blended a lot, because that's kind of how at least the three of us met. But really know that that's your child's reality, is that there's one parent that lives one place and one parent who's not in that same house. Okay, so if we do it interchangeably, don't think that we're missing that. We're still including your children's reality for us. Okay.
That's about it.
I'm Lisa. I was a single mom for about 3 years after a divorce, and I am remarried now for 12 years to my husband, Troy. And we live in Northeast Wisconsin, specifically Menasha, Wisconsin. Let's see. We have four children. So I have two daughters, 22 and 25. And then my stepchildren, or I like to call them my bonus kids. My stepson is 17 and my stepdaughter's 14. And let's see, what else? My day job is as a leadership coach and consultant. I've been doing that for about 25 years. And my husband and I co-lead the blended family ministry at our church. So step family ministry. And whether you know it or not, I mean, step families are formed after divorce, but also after death of a spouse and then remarriage, or you come into a relationship never having been married before, but having kids. So those are all step families, blended families. And then I also was recently came out of a 12-month training through our church. I go to Calvary Bible Church in Neenah, Wisconsin, and it's a training referred to as Called to Peace. So I'm also an advocate in our church for any kind of domestic abuse, coercive control situations. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Angie. I am not a single parent. I am, however, I do work very distinctly with many families who experience parenting singly through child protection, divorce, custody battles, youth behavioral health separation, those kinds of things. First, I, though, am a parent of three young adult children, all in college right now. We're from Rochester, and after spending about 25 years in public education as a dual-licensed social worker and school counselor, I really felt the need to leave that security of a full-time regular paycheck and jump into removing some barriers more distinctly by working in-home with families doing parent coaching. So that's my job right now. I founded a business that provides that in-home support to families who are struggling in many different ways and who often are looking for someone who really is in their corner and has their back. And through that work, I hope to share some of my experience and some of the tips and tools that I use to support families who very well may be experiencing some of the things you are.
All right, so one thing I forgot to do is open in prayer. So before we start asking some questions, let's invite the Heavenly Father to join us. So Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing each woman into this space today. You see every story, every heart, every burden, and every dream. As we gather, let this room become a place of encouragement, connection, and holy inspiration. Guide our words, soften our hearts, and let your extravagant love be felt in every moment. Help each mom here to know that she is not alone and that you are dreaming big dreams for her and with her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this works best. We're going to go through some questions that I have, but if you have questions, please ask us because we want this to be interactive. I didn't realize we were going to be up on stage, but just raise your hands, say something out loud. This isn't formal at all. I'm standing because, honestly, I can't sit on these things because my legs are so short that they dangle. So please do.
Yeah, we can
come right here. Let's sit here.
You want to all come up and have a little intimate conversation?
We're
going to
sit down. Let's just sit down here.
We can. Bring your chairs up. Down here. We'll just put them back when we're done.
Yeah. Look at everybody's legs are going to dangle now. Fantastic.
Oh, I might fall over.
But if we get stuck here, you have to get us up.
My knees are bad.
I like it.
Yeah,
oh, good. Thanks for that suggestion. Oh, are you meeting? Oh, like, good. You aren't reaching the ground.
What's going to happen is that we're going to
Oh, please don't. If you hung out with us for 5 minutes, you would not be intimidated at all. But I need my glasses.
We still want you to hear us, so we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want us?
If you don't come up, we can still use the mics.
Okay. We're gonna use this.
This is much better. Anybody got? We should go get some coffee.
I know, right?
I know. That's how.
We should have brought ice cream after after lunch. Everybody had get some good chocolate, some good sugar. All right. So, my single mom support squad. What helped you hold on to hope during your hardest season, as a mom? Or as a single mom, specifically? Oh, Ange gets to start.
Holding on to hope.
Holding on to hope during a tough season.
Well, I might change the answers that I said this
morning.
Please
do.
Okay.
So one of my most hopeless moments as a mom, despite having a husband at home, we don't always parent on the same page. So there are times when even if you do have a parenting partner, you may also feel quite isolated and alone in your approach or having the lack of the support. When our middle child was first diagnosed with depression at age of 10, we struggled a ton. And I felt at that time that there was very little hope. In fact, that was also a time in my spiritual life where I said, nope, I don't think this is God like punishing me for being naughty when I was young, right? I mean, that's raised Catholic. That's how I was grown up to believe. So I really, at that time, isolated myself from a lot of my support systems and tried to put the weight on my shoulders to make this better and fix this. And through that process, it took several years for me to recognize that my hopelessness, I could not change it myself. And so I had to really go through my own kind of self-awareness and kind of like self-reflection to be able to say, in my times of greatest need and when I feel rock bottom and when I feel the most or the least effective as a mom, that's when I really needed to look up and look for other ways, look to God to be able to guide me and to put the trust in the process through him. And it hasn't been an easy journey, but it has sustained me and helped me teach my children that when they do struggle, there is a path to support, and it's not always where you think it is. You've got to rely on your faith to be able to get you through whatever that faith looks like.
Well, I came to Christ through my divorce. So I was born and raised Catholic, but it was always religion, and a good friend of mine just invited me to church, and that's where I found Jesus. And so that's since that time, I think what helped me through being a single mom and even through the early years of a blended family, because you might think, oh, getting remarried, amazing, then I can get out of this single mom stuff. And it is hard. It is hard. So, you know, Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses. I cling to that quite often, right? So God causes all things to work together for good for those that are called to his purpose. So, and Isaiah 41:10 is another one. Just to, you know, there's no reason to be fearful. There's no reason to be afraid. You know, the Lord your God will hold you in his righteous right hand. So scripturally, those are some things that I really hold on to. Can't remember what else I shared this morning when you asked this question. But yeah, it's, and even just, friends, family, through it all, it's just been, especially my mom being incredibly supportive, never questioned me once about getting out of my verbally and emotionally abusive former relationship. So
I was going to say, I was far from God in my first marriage, and it was a couple of years after my divorce that I started to go back to church, and I had a good friend. I was just really struggling, and she's like, Satan is just battling for your soul. And I started going to church with her and kind of getting a good community around me, getting to know other moms that my kids were in school with, developing friendships there so that, you know, when I needed help, I had those people around me. Having the support of people from church, people praying for me, people just there for me, just to kind of sit in the not so fun parts of single momness.
All right. So now we're going to get audience participation. I'm going to keep you guys on your toes. I'm going to do this out of order. Okay, this is called a lightning round, which means you have to answer fast. So we're going to go through everybody because we're just all moms, right? We're just all here. We're going to do it. So here's a question you're going to answer, and it's just going to be quick. So we're going to start with Lori again. You got to go first. You said on the end. Okay, so if God had a fridge, what would your photo on it be doing? What would you be doing on the photo of you on God's fridge? Lightning. I had time to think about it.
I'd be raising a glass. Having a cheering.
Okay.
Cheersing, I guess.
Perfect. Okay. You got this, Lisa. I know what you'd be doing. Use your
what would
head.
I be doing?
You'd be dancing.
Oh, yes. I would be dancing. We would be absolutely dancing.
We call this our smooth criminal look.
It would be Lecrae. I would be dancing to Lecrae. Yeah.
I'm Like
I would be eating nachos.
Yeah, I would be laughing.
Nachos.
Nachos. I'd be laughing with friends. What do you think God's photo of you would be? So, oh, let's do the dream one. Let's do that one. Nice. Hiking. Okay. Right on! I like it! Oh, nice. That's beautiful. That is sweet. Okay, lightning round. Oh, wait. Are you guys going to participate? Come on. Right on. Woo! I like it. I like it. Okay, I like it. Yes, absolutely. Future thinking is great. Yeah. I like it. I like it. All right, so we'll do another lightning round, so just be ready, but we're not going to do that right now. Oh, okay, so, all right, so from your experience, Single Mom Support Squad, I said I should have made T-shirts for us, but I didn't. There we go. Right on. There you go. Okay. What's one insight you wish all moms or single moms, since they're single moms here, knew about caring for themselves? Okay. Look at Lori's like, give that to me. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to say no to other things that keep you from time to take care of yourself. Like, really just try to prioritize. It's really, am I talking right to you? All the PTA things, all the volunteer things. Are you the first one to sign up? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, and you'll fill up all of your time taking care of everyone else and then have no time for yourself. Okay.
Did you do that last night? They do lots of
love. That's awesome. Yeah. So my point is, Lisa Turkhurst wrote a book called The Best Yes. It has a lot to do with, like, figuring out what your calling is and what you're best at so that you're not just saying yes to everything, because you all those things you may not do well if you're doing too many things. I'm trying to figure out which one is going to be the best use of your talents. But that involves then saying no to a lot of things. And as a single mom, I mean, you already have a lot of things that you have to say yes to. So try to bump yourself up the list some.
Yeah, very similar. When I remember being at that stage where my kids were all in elementary school, and they were back to back to back, so like third, fourth, fifth grade, and I was like the PTA president and the organizer of the fundraiser and all of this, and I coached youth sports, and I did, you know, and trying to work full time. And a friend of mine recommended another book for me. I believe it was called The Sacred Yes. And it really just helped me realize, like, I can volunteer for things that are unique to me for my gifts. So I don't have to be the one to bake a box of brownies, because everybody could bake a box of brownies. And if that's the gift that somebody else can handle and manage, then they should be doing that. But if I could, you know, like, if my gift was, like, spreadsheets, right,
I can make you a spreadsheet. I can manage a spreadsheet, or I can do whatever that is that my gift is unique for that could support the cause, then that's where I was going to reserve my sacred yes for. And that way I knew that I could be doing it, filling a hole somewhere that might not be able to be filled by someone else.
So, what?
I think I'm having the post-lunch slump.
I'm like, okay, what's you? What did
wish,
I ask you?
Wish all moms.
Oh, moms, yeah, about caring for themselves.
Well, caring for themselves. Well, don't ever be afraid to get therapy. I had about 2 years of it after my divorce, but also even in my remarriage, you know, going to a therapist when you need that help, that has been huge. When I was a single mom, so we had a 2-2-3 when my kids were a lot younger. And so what I would try to do when they weren't with me is, of course, I'd take care of the household stuff and try to get my groceries shopped. But like, I would make sure I did something for me, whether it was go hang out with my friends or read a book, sit out in the sun on a beautiful day like today, and just like recharge myself, because being a mom, especially a single mom, like just it takes all of your energy. You're trying to be all things to them, and you've got to do something to recharge.
That nothing gets fixed or broken in a day. You can't fix anything in a day, and you can't break anything in a day. So if you need to take an hour here or there in your day to care for yourself, or to just say, no, I'm just going to sit, I see the dishes, I see the laundry, I see, it'll still be there tomorrow. Nothing will get fixed or broken in a day. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that now, especially even like owning a business, because I'm like, oh no, I got to do that. I'm really bad at like working it till midnight every night. And when you really
we
think
work
about
together professionally too, and
self
I get that, yeah,
care, I know, right? Where we're both like, no, you got to take off, I can't, I gotta work. Or the day that you block to do something, then it just magically fills up with other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. but I think we're all guilty of that. And whether you own a business or you do work very hard at home as a parent, that's the thing that you have to realize. You know what, I see all of that, and sometimes I just have to remind myself that one or two things getting done is good enough for the day. It doesn't have to be all the things. So if whatever you get accomplished for that day, even if it's self-care, is considered a win, because it's something that you need, and if that's what you need, then that's a priority over whatever other task you have to do.
All right, I'm just going to stop for a second. Any questions? You're just going to yell them out, right? I trust that everybody's just going to participate. Okay, go for it.
Well, I love to get my nails and my toes done. So kind of pampering like that. I've gotten addicted to having my lashes done. So... but then also, I mean, we put in a pool last year, and so just like when the weather's nice, getting to the pool. If it's not, we get in the hot tub. Just some time to relax. And I like to spend time with my husband, with no kids around. That doesn't happen very often, but we try.
I was gonna say I swim on a master swim team, and so I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go swim in a cold pool, and you know, fortunately. Especially the weeks I didn't have my kids, I could do that when they were there. I just had to know that that wasn't the week I was going to be able to get up until they were old enough that I could get up. But I found that if I didn't get up in the morning at 5 o'clock to do the thing that I wanted to do, it didn't get done. And so I still do that. They're not at home, but that's my quiet. I mean, I love talking, so don't get me wrong. And there's a lot of times I look at my coach, I'm like, I'm a master swimmer. I'm going to kick and talk to my friend. I'm not doing that set. So... But for me, it was getting up early in the morning and going and getting some physical exercise out. And, like, we get to move to outdoor swimming next week, so I'm super excited because it's beautiful. But that's the only time I found for myself, and I've just kept that up because I feel better if I start the day in the pool thinking and just, you know, and somebody else tells me what to do, quite frankly. You know, when you're a mom and work and whoever, I mean, all the things. I'm like, oh, good, I don't have to think for an hour. Great. So that's what I do for self-care.
Yeah, something that I did when I was a single mom, I also continue to do it, is that it's morning exercise. Like, I used to never be a morning person before having kids, but that's like starting the day with that. And when I was a single mom, there was another woman in the neighborhood, and, you know, we just take turns being at each other's houses, and we had our workout DVDs, and we'd go down the basement and grab our little weights and have our exercise time. So that's something I still continue to do. And then I, you know, through being a single mom and even getting remarried, like, I know for me personally, like, I need alone time to recharge. And so just even that quiet time is something huge that I have to do. Otherwise, I'm going to be crabby at everybody. Nobody likes crabby Lisa.
Nobody likes crabby Lisa.
I would agree. I belong to a gym where I get up every morning at 5 and go work out. But I think in addition to that is that I really feel like in order, like, self-care for me is these little snippets throughout the day. They don't have to be something extensive or something that's routine, but, like, I'll get done with a meeting and I'll just go outside and throw the frisbee for my dogs, or maybe I'll go out and weed a little bit in my garden. And so being outside or changing my scenery, because sometimes I feel like if I sit in my office all day, just that same environment all day really, like, just drains me. And so changing my environment. And then I use an app called Marco Polo, which it's okay. If you haven't heard of it, it's like a live, you can, like, record yourself a video and send it to someone. And I often will do that to my mom. I mean, I do it with your neighbor, who's my best friend, who's her sister-in-law.
That's how Ange got roped in.
But I send Marco Polos to my mom because it's me being able, I can record my face and I can talk to my mom without her interrupting me. And not that she's not good at, I mean, but she can listen to my whole vent and she can hear everything I'm saying and talking about, and I can get it out without being distracted, right, by her questions or by her probing or whatever. And so I really feel like that's my self-care. I can be like, and I'm, whether I'm walking or whether I'm driving or I'm doing dishes or whatever, I've got my mom and I'm recording just this rambling of monologue of about my kids and work and my husband, and then I can just push unrecord and my mom gets it and she can take time to listen to it and then reply, and she can, like, give me, like, feedback without interrupting me. That's not, and I can say to her, I don't need you to tell me this isn't okay. I don't need you to tell me that I should be doing this. And I'll tell her that, and I'll be like, and I love you, and I called and I want you to know how I'm feeling because I need your support, and I don't really need that right now, mom, but I need something else. And she'll just be like, okay, Ange, here's what you need. But it's not in the moment. It's something that I can go back and look at and listen to, because then that whole timeline is recorded and I can go back and say, this is when I was struggling and this is what my mom told me. This is what I'm, or anyone else that you care about and trust. And I have that recorded timeline, so I can go back and see, like, where my growth has come from. And if I need to hear and see her again, I can just pull up the recording.
No, I got one. Oh, yeah, let's go. No. Go, Lisa. No,
yeah, they're going to probably make me moonwalk or something. No, I was on the dance team in my younger days in high school and in college, and then, you know, just kind of walked away from that because, you know, you're not in dance team anymore. So probably a couple years ago, I found a local place that did a group hip-hop class. Cool. So I was doing that every Friday night for like 40 minutes, and then they stopped doing it because people stopped showing up except for me. And so now, you know, one of the things I splurge on is once a month I get a private hip-hop lesson. And so right now we're doing working on an Usher song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
She's going to have a recital that we can come to. Yeah, go ahead.
There's some, I just wanted to say, free stuff, right? So if you're talking about getting your mindset right at the beginning of the day, I mean, there's the YouVersion Bible app. There's also an app called First 15, which, you know, you can go in there, read a quick devotional in the morning, right? Get a scripture verse of the day. But I also been doing a year-long study of the Bible. So you read a little snippet every day. Tara Lee Cobble, the Bible recap. Yeah.
Background of the scripture relating it to themes throughout scripture,
And she puts it in things. I'm doing the same thing. And I'm like, wow, I've never thought about it like that before. You know, just it's an approachable way that she describes scripture.
Well, yeah, and it's the third time I'm reading through the Bible, and I love her recaps because I'm learning something new and something different about God. And it's about what are you learning about God through this scripture?
You are right. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm like, wow. I'll even play it out loud. They hear it playing. You know, I'm folding laundry and I'm listening to scripture.
There's also some really great family devotionals that you can do with your kids that have some good, you know, graphics that are very age appropriate if you're looking at, you know, young kids versus elementary versus junior high. There are a lot of different family devotionals out there too that you could do with your kids.
Yeah, go ahead. You can speak as much as you want. Where is that? That's awesome. That's awesome. Nice. Go ahead.
Appreciate me more.
I love it. Yeah, right.
Well, we did 13 miles in the mountains.
Oh, wow. Silence. Silence.
There's
Well, there's a ton of research right now about why being in nature is so healing, because it goes back to our primal days of being in tune with Earth and being in tune with our senses and using our senses to heal us. So if you know, talking about free and low cost or no cost or easy things to do, go to a nature center, go out for a hike, just sit outside and have your child close their eyes or lay on the ground and look at the sky. I mean, all of those things are really healing, and being in touch with the earth and being grounded. And so, you know, if you're interested in forest bathing, or if you're interested, I mean, any of that kind of stuff that where you're really immersed in nature is one of the best self-care things you can do.
All right, I'm just looking at the time, and I know, and this is great, but there is one thing, like, so Lisa and I were walking this morning, because we both got up to exercise, and as we were preparing for this, she told me about this training that she did. Oh, you had what?
I slept, finally.
You needed to sleep, that's self-care, yeah. Right. But she's walking with us tomorrow, that's what she told us. You told us you're walking with us tomorrow, though. No? You don't remember that part? Anyway, we'll talk later.
No, I don't remember that part. I think I'll be sleeping.
Self-care. Well, however you do it. But Lisa told me about this 12-month training. And, you know, Wisconsin, Texas, we talk, text, stuff like that. But I didn't know she'd been going through this 12 months of training about keeping the peace. What is that? Called to peace. But what I encoded was, this is important information that potentially could affect all of you as you think about, you know, future relationships or navigating from past relationships or your children who were in these relationships. And I asked her, is it okay if I ask you, like, what things would you want these women to know based on 12 months in 7 minutes? just kidding. But I thought she had some good wisdom if it's useful for you or those that you know and are in your circle. I thought this was really useful information that she had.
Yeah. If I forget anything, but one of the things I think if any of you are, like, not in a relationship, or you're thinking about dating, thinking about getting married to somebody, whether you're previously divorced or not, like, be very wary of any man that is, you know, the technical term is love bomb you, right? So you get into that relationship, he wants to take you out to dinner, give you flowers, you know, just do all of this really amazing stuff. And, you know, even like, hey, it's only 3 months and I love you so much. Oh my gosh, I've just never met anybody like you before. And let's move in together or let's get married. Like, yeah, so that's part of power and control. So I want to get a hold of you. I want to get you to move in with me or marry me. And now I've got you. So quick. Right? I mean, there's wonderful men out there that are going to buy you flowers and tell you you're beautiful. And there are healthy men out there that will do that. But this is different, right? It feels different. It's too fast. It's too intense. So be very wary of that. It's very dangerous. Yeah, it's very dangerous. So, yeah. The other thing to just think about is, especially if your kids are, you know, they're going between two homes, as Christine talked about, and the other home is not safe, or, you know, maybe there's emotional abuse going on. If you can inoculate your children as much as possible before they go to that house with love, and what does healthy love look like? What does healthy parenting look like? That is tremendously beneficial for your children. They can heal from any past trauma, any past hurt, if they have a healthy parent in their life. And that can absolutely be you. They don't have to be doomed to a life of, you know, dysfunction. So keep that in mind.
inoculate, just like saturate, yeah, just what does healthy conflict management look like? What is, you know, what does healthy communication look like? What is, you know, allowing them to have their own boundaries look and feel like? When you can do that in your own home, even if they're going to that other house and it's just not a good place to be, like, they can be okay for those few days until they get back to you. And the other thing to remember, I didn't learn this necessarily, well, I did reinforce it in the training. I've got a counseling background, but you know, when your kids are acting perfectly at school, maybe that's not the case, but I know my kids, it was like, oh, they'd be a perfect angel for the teacher and for the neighbor, and then they come home and they're just this ugly ball of emotions. That's because I was the safe parent. So remember that when you're frustrated and they're just, you know, whatever, tantruming or whatever, like, you are the safe parent, and that's why they're doing that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, you're I'm also sorry, still what was that like for you? That I'm too, really right? sorry like, that that yeah. happened. It can be also to validate, like, that behavior is not okay. You're not bad-mouthing the other parent, but you're just saying that's not okay. The fact that you were treated that way because you got upset about X, that wasn't okay, and I'm sorry.
I would also say it's good to get them into counseling, because sometimes you need a neutral person to hear those things, that you can't always be that. You're not neutral, and that's where counseling is super helpful. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I think we've got time for one more question.
Yeah.
I mean, don't call it, I'm the safe parent. Don't use that word, because it's triggering for them.
Yeah. And I mean, my son's 25 and autistic and has an intellectual disability. So I would say that all bets are off. You don't know that they're not going to have meltdowns over there. That's not, like, that brain doesn't work the same way that our brain does. It's, you know, that's where the special needs part is different. So I think that you just have to say, you know, that they're two different, you have two different parenting styles, you have different rules in each household, and it can be hard to help a child with special needs navigate that. A child that's neurotypical is going to understand it better, but it's still hard. It's still very hard. I mean, mine were twins, so same age, neurotypical and neurodivergent, or whatever you want to call it, but and they still both struggled with navigating back and forth. So I think you just, you know, you can't say for sure that he's not going to act up over there, because you just don't know. Yeah.
All right. And the last minute, I just wanted to say, so we do have some resources over here. We have more books. We didn't go to the car. So it says blended. But again, it's for kids that are navigating two homes, and it's more of a work. Oh, look at it. I have one right here. It's a workbook for kids to navigate some conversations. Actually, I'm actually curious in your LMFT hat. It's so that they can have voice and they can, you know, it looks like a coloring book, but it also asks some big questions about their life navigating two homes. And if you want more, we'll bring some and we'll leave them in the back, because we have more in the truck or in the van. We just didn't go get the next one. So we'll leave those on the back table if you want to grab one on your way out. But share it with whomever. If you need extra copies, we have some. All right, I think we have, oh, go ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the other resource that we shared in the last session that people wrote down was there was 101 questions to ask before you're engaged. before you get remarried, before you get married. But it's just a $2.50 book by Norman. What did we write? What was it?
Norman Wright.
You can get it on Amazon, but it's just 101 questions. And what Lisa had, when I asked the question before, you said, if the person that you're dating is unwilling to have these 101 conversations with you in preparation for potentially getting engaged or remarried, that's a red flag, right?
Say no, run.
Yeah.
Questions.
101 questions. 101 questions. There's multiple different, whatever it works for you. Yep. Okay, we are out of time, but you're welcome. Yeah, may you enjoy the rest. Hopefully you'll all win something amazing in this next section, and have safe travels home. I'll pray before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to meet together and, Lord, just have some important conversations. I thank you for being in this conversation with us. I hope that everybody here is walking out not just seen, but feeling ignited and energized to do the work that you've called them to do. That we're not just feeling supported, Lord, but you're actually sending us. We know, God, that you are not done writing our stories, that you're just getting started. Lord, we thank you for loving us. I ask that the remaining time here just blesses everybody and that they have safe travels home. I pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.